Do you want to help make a difference nationwide? Come with the National Fragile X Foundation to Washington, D.C. on March 1st and 2nd for Fragile X Advocacy Day, where parents like you visit their congressional representatives to pass policies and fund programs which support Fragile X. Visit www.fragilex.org/advocacyday for more details. Welcome to the National Fragile X Foundation podcast. I'm David Solomon, your host for this episode, and I am the Meeting and Technology Coordinator for the Foundation. I'm joined today by Jane Dixon Weber, the Support Services Coordinator for the National Fragile X Foundation. She has a 22-year-old son with Fragile X syndrome named Ian. She has helped parents and professionals find information on everything from newly diagnosed to adults to Fragile X syndrome to FACS tests. If you have any questions or you'd like to speak with Jane, just contact her at treatment@fragilex.org. So, Jane, today we're talking about surviving the holiday season.
Yes, we are. And so I've put together some information. As we enter this season, there may be several occasions that have the potential to disrupt the routines for your child with Fragile X syndrome. So whether you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or actually any other holiday throughout the year, the purpose of this podcast is to give you ideas on helping your child survive the holiday with the least disruption to the rest of the family. So what I will present today is information that our family does around Christmas time and the new year, but it could really be adapted for any holiday, and including special occasions such as birthdays or even weddings. And where I'd like to start is kind of looking at the big picture of the holiday season. And what I found is that I kind of approach the holiday season in a way that will best help my son. So I look at it and I think, okay, there's going to be a big change in routines over the next, depending on, you know, your season, let's say starting around Thanksgiving. There'll be sights and sounds that show up this time of year that you don't see any other time of year. And so it's like, let's look at the big picture. Okay, so when Ian was in school, he's out of school now, but he would go from being in school and then come home for a 2 to 3 week break and then go back to school. And that alone is a huge disruption to his schedule. So we had to plan for that and be prepared for just those changes in activities. As well as, while he's at school before the break, there's holiday activities going on. And then when he's home for the 2 to 3 weeks, there's, you know, daily changes in activities. And then you go back to school and get back in before you get back into a routine. So planning for this can be very tricky. So you want to, I mean, think about maybe touching base with the school in the weeks before the break to talk about the different activities that they're going to be having, that they'll have going on. They may do cookie exchange. They may do, they could do a gift exchange. There may be holiday, like music, musicals and singings. And so see if you can start developing a big picture schedule, whether you use a picture schedule or some sort of day planner or a calendar, putting down these activities that will be going on at school, and then also including the ones that you'll have at home.
So, Jane, these schedules that you're going to be putting together, this would be just for yourself, or, I mean, is this something that you present to Ian or when you make these schedules?
So that's a great question, because actually I keep two schedules. I keep one for myself that has a lot of detail on it about where to go and what to do. But for Ian, I would keep he likes to keep a calendar. So we have, like, for example, the month of December, and he has all of his activities in terms that he understands on the days of these events. And so his is much more simpler than mine. But I do keep two of them, and again, you want to find out what strategy your child wants. I know some children like pictures. Ian prefers words, but I have to keep it very simple. So I start talking to him about these activities. I might say, so, you know, I would review on a regular basis. I would review the activity, say, it might be for the next week. I also have to do the activities for that day. And so there's that continual kind of orienting him to where he is and where he's going and what he can expect to happen, particularly if we're doing an activity that he's never done before. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit more about building traditions into your different holidays, and those really seem to anchor him. If you can see how that you come up with something, an activity that you do the same every year, and so those kinds of things he finds very comforting because he knows what to expect. And
yeah, so he has less of a surprise when that thing comes up.
Right, right. He actually looks forward to it, but not with too much anxiety.
So how soon do you start these schedules? I mean, you probably don't spring it on him during Thanksgiving. I mean, you probably have to start orienting him to it earlier than that, right?
Well, you know, I used to start earlier, but that just created too much anxiety.
And so
I usually wait till after Thanksgiving, like maybe the weekend after Thanksgiving, especially when you start seeing a lot of changes. You know, some of the strategies that I start thinking about, and actually I start thinking about this in some respects, you know, a lot earlier than I would tell Ian. And so I have to be organized and I have to plan things out in my mind before I can tell Ian. I set up a schedule, but I'm conscious about not over-scheduling. You know, for example, we had a call yesterday. There was some children, our local program wanted Ian to be part of a music program. And after thinking about it, I thought, you know what, we have enough going on. I don't want to throw anything else into the mix right now because our schedule's kind of set. And that includes not only the family schedule, but even for things that I have to get done, such as, you know, there's always shopping and we send out holiday cards and there's a lot of baking. And so I have to think about what the activities we have going on in the family, when will I get these other things done so as not to create a lot of stress around, because if I get stressed, then Ian gets stressed. I mean, he is like a mirror of my emotions. And so I have a pretty good idea how I'm doing by watching him. So it's very interesting.
So this stuff isn't just for Ian. I mean, this is scheduling just even for yourself, because then, you know, whatever you're going through, Ian's gonna just start mirroring that whole emotion. I mean, we're not even talking about his schedule. We're talking about just your schedule. Is that right?
You know, it's all incorporated together. You bet. It's from his schedule to, you know, kind of the whole family schedule that includes everybody's activities, because we don't all, you know, some things we do as a family. You know, Ian has his things. My daughter has her things. And then there's other things, you know, there's daily activities that have to get done too, just your regular cooking and cleaning. And so, and what I found, you know, it was interesting because we noticed we have some relatives and we do a gift exchange with them, and they started asking for our gift lists in the middle of November. So when I would go to Ian and say, what would you like for Christmas in the middle of November, that was just too early. He would, by mid-December, he just, with, because the concept of time is challenging, that 6 weeks was just too long to start that kind of activity. And so keeping that in mind is the same with the, you know, I've kind of incorporated that so we don't develop, you know, any sort of list until after Thanksgiving. And with the calendar, it really helps to visualize how far away how far away Christmas is. So I guess I just think it's really important that what I have found that works with Ian is to talk to him on a regular basis about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, like I mentioned earlier, you present the big picture,
mm-hmm. including
what will happen at school.
Mm-hmm.
And then you present it to him visually in whatever way that you think your child likes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think it's important, even through this season, to schedule sensory activities. And we always have a therapy ball here that he can sit and bounce on.
Mm-hmm.
We have swings both in the front yard and the backyard. We include a lot of gross motor activity so that he has those types of activity, which he finds very calming. And I just, that's important.
So that's basically, you know, as you're talking about, an anchor, even throughout the entire holiday schedule with all the new things, you want to try to keep the same other activities that he's been doing throughout the year, like the sensory activities, so that way it would help him out with having some sort of thing to ground him.
Absolutely, yes. And because even though when I mentioned like having traditions that he can count on, but even on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe having familiar foods for breakfast, you know, keeping something like that, keeping maybe going for a walk in the morning or a walk in the afternoon, maybe having, you know, keeping your bedtime routine.
Mm-hmm.
For Ian, that's very important. We don't schedule a lot in the evenings that go past his bedtime because that's just too difficult for him to wind down.
Mm-hmm.
So finding those kind of anchors throughout the day, as well as throughout the season, have been very important for us.
Okay. What about attending specific activities? Obviously, you're not going to be able to just keep on that same schedule during the holiday season because everybody's going to be inviting you to things. And I mean, there's just a lot going on around December. It's too much. I mean, people are just having holiday events. How do you guys deal with that?
Well, you know, and it's interesting because while I have, you know, while we're talking about the holiday season, you know, what I'm going to talk about, this is a strategy that we use throughout the year whenever we go to any special occasion, even like if we go to a sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the main thing, a big thing for Ian is that we have to allow plenty of time to get ready and I don't want to rush him. I mean, he doesn't like to feel like he's late for something. And so we just make sure that we've got enough upfront time built in so that we just, you know, we can just go through our routine of getting ready and not feel like, oh, hurry up, we're going to be late. I try not to do that during the season. We usually plan on going early. And what's interesting is this really seems to work for him, especially if there's going to be crowds of people that you don't know or you don't know how many people will be there. When you get there, if you're one of the first ones there, there's not very many people there. And it seems to be easier for Ian to become involved, you know, to survive, I guess, in a crowd of people if the people come in gradually.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're expecting 10, 15, or 20 people, if you're one of the first ones there, the 20 people arrive over the next, say, half an hour, and that's easier to handle than when you walk into a room of 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we often plan on staying a shorter amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the other thing is when we go to, especially if we're in a place that Ian's not familiar with, I will kind of walk through. Let's say we're at a neighbor's house or a friend's house. Then I make sure he knows where the bathrooms are, where the kids are going to hang out,
mm-hmm.
like where the adults will be, and maybe, you know, if he gets overwhelmed, a room that he can go to. And then while we're at the event, I will check in with him on a regular basis to say, you know, how you doing? Do you need to go for a walk? You want to go outside for a minute? Because you can always go outside when you think about it. You know, no matter where you are, what time of year, bring the clothes if it's cold, and just go outside and just get some fresh air. And so that's always nice to kind of check in when you need to. And then, as you can gauge your own child. You'll know your kid the best and what you need to do. And so then we always allow for a transition time, both when we arrive. You know, it may take him a few minutes to walk in the house, mm-hmm. and when we leave, I'll do the, you know, okay, we're going to get, you know, in 10 minutes, we're going to go. We're going to go home and, you know, get ready for bed or whatever you're going to do. And
then, so little updates then. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do kind of like maybe a 5-minute warning and then, you know, a minute warning and maybe say, you know, sometimes he likes to do, have like, I think transition activities are huge and just say, would you like to go get our coats? Let's go get our coats and so we can all get ready to go.
So this is, those are events where maybe Ian has people his age who he can hang out with and you kind of leave him on his own when you go to parties. I mean, I'm pretty sure he'll come around to see you and everything every once in a while. But have you been to any events or, I mean, do you have any advice if, say, there isn't anybody his age for him to deal with? I mean, would he just hang around you or?
You know, we have been to some events. Actually, we've been to some events that have kids and he sometimes he just likes to hang out with the adults. He likes to just sit and watch and listen. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, again, you know, a lot of children with Fragile X model other people's behavior. And mm-hmm. when I see him watch, when he's hanging out with adults, what he's watching is, you know, is how conversation takes place. You know, somebody will say something and then, you know, somebody will comment on that. And so he's learning like give and take. He's learning appropriate conversation, you know, not just changing the subject whenever you want to. So I see it as, you know, if that's what he wants to do, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I will say that, you know, sometimes his dad and I will go to parties and I'll say it's an adult only party and he won't go.
Mm.
Usually there's other kids around.
I see. So we're going to take a break right here, and we're going to be back just after a quick message.
This podcast is brought to you by generous donations from people just like you in the Fragile X community. Be sure to check your mailboxes for the 2010 annual fund and make a donation. Your gift will ensure that we are able to continue to expand our comprehensive support services while working hard to find a cure. Or you can donate online today at www.fragilex.org/annual fund.
So, Jane, we're going to be talking now about more general strategies on how to deal with the holidays.
So what I found, and I mentioned it earlier, is that if we've developed traditions over the years, and they really seem to be something that Ian looks forward to, he expects. And those are and they do anchor him throughout the season. For example, we go to the local parade of lights, and Ian gets very excited about it. He thinks it's great to be able to go and at nighttime and see all these colorful floats and see people he knows. And so that's a good activity. We buy a Christmas tree every year, and so we used to cut it down, and then we would go up into the hillside and we would get a permit and cut a tree down, but then those permits have gradually gone away because the areas have been thin. But that's another example. Decorating the tree. We have a little village that we set up on top of our piano, and Ian's in charge of putting all the people out. So he arranges the people however he wants to.
Mm.
We have a friend take a picture for our holiday card, and so he gets excited about that because she's a really nice photographer.
Mm.
We every year, and we'll do this in the week maybe before Christmas. I make a couple batches of sugar cookies, and then we'll have a few friends over, and when we decorate our cookies, it's a big deal. I mean, we have 4 or 5 different colored frostings. We have sprinkles and all kinds. And our cookies, you know, are very, you know, sometimes people will spend, you know, 10 or 15 minutes just decorating one cookie. So they're pretty fancy. We have a neighborhood caroling party. And then even on, I try to have like a nice breakfast on Christmas morning. And then we usually have a fancy meal that evening. We don't live close to any relatives, and so we will sometimes get together with our neighbors, and sometimes we go back to family, but we've discovered it's very difficult for Ian to travel during the holiday season. He wants to be home.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, there's a lot of stress that goes on during that time. So when you're developing these traditions, I mean, you've probably been doing these for several years, so it's a lot, well, more than several years, but you have been doing this for a while, so it's not really something that, even though he knows it's coming up, it's not really building any anxiety in him?
It's kind of like yes and no, mm-hmm. because he still gets excited about going to the Parade of Lights, mm-hmm. even though he knows what to expect. He's excited about, you know, he's talking, we haven't decorated cookies yet, but he's already talking about, well, when are we going to decorate cookies and who are we going to have over this year? And, you know, can we start buying some sprinkles now? And so he's excited about it, but, it's not as if we're doing an unknown activity and we have to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you know, the other part is that, you know, we've tried different activities, and then, like, the next year we'll say, like, for example, oh, do you guys want to go cut down a tree again this year, or, you know, you want to go buy one? And so we would talk to the kids about what they want to do. And so some of the, you know, the traditions, you know, have just developed because, oh, it was fun, and we wanted to do it again, and, you know, it wasn't, and they're not really too anxiety-provoking for anybody.
Hmm. So you still try to insert new things by but presenting it to your child before you actually do it. Is that what I'm getting from there?
Right. Yeah. If we want to try something new, I'm trying to think of an example. I would try to make it sound like you know, I need to explain it in terms that he can understand. That's the best thing to describe that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk a little bit more specifically about Christmas Day. You know, we talked about little traditions, but maybe we can talk a little bit more about specifics that you did.
Well, and, you know, I just think about, you know, I think every family has their own kind of routine, or however they open presents. And so, you know, we've just kind of found a way that works for us. And that's, I think that's the, you know, important thing is just to find what works for your family. But I think that what I've noticed happens every year is that when after the last present is open, it's like, it's over. You know, all this preparation that you've been doing for a month is now over. And so what I try to you know, I'm ready for that, so that, like, oh, well, we're done with this, and then I have something to do. Like, maybe if you eat, you know, do it before breakfast or whenever time you do it, just say, you know, well, let's go, let's, you know, maybe have a game you can play right away. Or, you know, maybe they get a game, let's, you know, oh, let's play the game, or let's put this together, or, you know, let's try, you know, maybe he gets some sort of sporting gear. Oh, you know, let's try some of your things on and see what they look like, so that it just, you don't just sit there and go, oh, it's over. Because, you know, in some respects, we all feel that way.
Yeah, you kind of need, like, a cool-down period, I guess is what it is. You don't just go from a big high to a very huge low because everything's over. You kind of want to ease them into just calming it down, like, calming down the situation, I guess.
Yeah,
I think we all do go through something like that. I mean, I think as soon as I'm done with opening my presents, I grab a video game and go straight to my room or something when I was a kid.
Well, but that's the idea. It's kind of like, so in order for that low to, you know, to keep it from getting too low, and you know, having something to do, scheduling something, like, you know, whether it's a book or, you know, well, let's go, you know, let's all go in the kitchen, let's all start, you know, making lunch together, or, you know, whatever, dinner, or, you know, some sort of family activity, or go for a walk
mm-hmm.
around the neighborhood. you know, just something that, that kind of, that you, that he has to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've even a couple of times over the last 20 years, when the weather has been unusually warm, we've gone to the zoo on Christmas Day. And so our zoo is, I think they advertise they're open 365 days a year. And what I was surprised at is how many people are at the zoo. It's jammed on Christmas Day. So people like to get out and do something after they've opened the presents. Last year, we actually had a couple of feet of snow. We actually went sledding on Christmas Day. So that was fun.
Mm.
We went over with a neighbor and we have a great hill by our house, and we sled for a couple of hours until everybody's fingers and toes were too cold to last any longer.
So, what about New Year's, Jane?
So, you know, again, it's kind of a holiday that we've tried different things. We've done some giving, you know, we've tried this to see if it works and changed things over the years, and we had some friends who we used to go to their house for a party, but we would go early,
mm-hmm.
before the big crowds got there, and we would usually leave early. What we've discovered is Ian does not like to stay up late. He likes to go to bed, you know, maybe 10 o'clock at the very latest, and even on New Year's. And so, but these people moved away, and so now we just do a family thing, and we just have a certain... You know, our big thing on New Year's Eve is root beer floats. So that's kind of our tradition that we do that evening after dinner, is have some root beer floats before we go to bed. Now, Ian goes to bed, but the rest of us stay up until midnight. And so, but that took some trial and error. And every year I kind of check in to say, do you want to stay up late tonight? And usually it's no. He's ready to go to bed. So New Year's isn't a huge deal. For us, usually on New Year's Day, we try to have, again, like maybe some special foods. Like there's some, you know, like black-eyed peas is a kind of a traditional New Year's Day food for good luck throughout the year. But it's pretty low-key for us.
So you guys don't actually stay up till midnight, like even after Ian goes to sleep. It's just you're done for the year too. Is that right?
Oh no, we do stay up.
Oh, you do. He just goes straight to bed.
So, yeah, Ian usually goes to bed around between 9 and 10, and then my daughter and my husband and I stay up, and then we have our own thing. We usually play Monopoly. We play Monopoly, we watch the Three Stooges on TV, and then at midnight, it's funny, all of our neighbors all go outside at like 5 till 12, and... for some reason, when I was growing up, we used to bang together pots and pans at midnight. So people are banging together pots and pans, and we're shooting off fireworks, and Ian just sleeps right through it.
Hmm. We haven't actually talked about what happens if there is a blowout. We've been talking about mostly how to prevent any blow-ups.
Well, you know, I guess I always tell myself that all the planning in the world, you know, may not prevent one, and
mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important to know that. I mean, I still need to do all this planning, but to know that, you know, it could still happen, and then just to keep it in the back of my mind, which is always back there, like, you know, is he thinking about something that he's not telling me that is bugging him or that he's anxious about? And so while I do everything I can to prevent one, I mean, I know that I can't do everything and I can't do everything right. And so I just know that it could happen. To be quite honest, I just hope for the best. I hope it's in a situation that that isn't around a lot of people, that... You know, and I have to say, you know, where things, you know, I don't want to say that they, you know, things could get broken. And so I think about that, and I'm just always trying to clue into Ian, especially when we're around other people, that, you know, how can I support him if I see his anxiety starting to go up?
Well, it is one of the most anxiety-driven seasons of the year, even for us.
I guess about it.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, you just deal with the situation the same way that you would deal with the situation at all times. Just, you know, be prepared for it.
That's true. But, you know, the other thing I should have mentioned earlier, that now that Ian's out of school, he works at a job. So he goes to a job every day.
Mm-hmm.
And some, so I don't have that school to home to school, but I do. So I just have a job. And so, you know, even today he has a class with our Parks and Rec program after work today, and he said, "Mom, can I just take the afternoon off?" And I mean, he said that just as clear as day, and I looked at him and I said, "Yeah, you know what? I think we should just take the afternoon off." Mm-hmm. And so I think it's okay to, you know, I mean, you don't want to drop your standard completely, but it's okay to say, you know what, I think we need to take a break.
Mm.
And that's okay. That's okay to do, is to take that break. Well, you know, I guess this one thing I know we've talked about all this preparing and planning and organizing and doing mm-hmm. all these things for your child, for your family. You know, I want, you know, make sure you take some time for yourself.
Mm.
And as often as you can, just, you know, like, literally stand still and just enjoy the moment.
Mm.
Whether you're at the parade of lights, whether you're picking a Christmas tree, you know, just stand there and just take it all in and go, wow, you know, that tree's beautiful, or it smells so good, or just enjoy the smile on everybody's face as they're, you know, decorating cookies and laughing, and just try to just capture those little, you know, snapshots in your head to carry with you through, through the years with you, that you can remember how happy you were when you were, you know, like decorating the cookies. So just enjoy the moment as much as you can.
Yeah, it's not an assignment. You got to, you know, remember that you're doing all this because you want to have fun. You want to be doing these things.
Yeah, it is supposed to be fun.
So thanks, Jane, for joining us today for this podcast. Hopefully we're going to be doing a lot more. We've done, I think, maybe 3 or 4 podcasts this past year. Right. 3 or 4 podcasts, and usually we've done it by phone, but now we're doing these podcasts by recordings. And so if you have any questions about these podcasts, or if you'd like to comment on this particular podcast, or you have any questions for the next podcast, and if there's any subjects that you'd like us to cover, you can just email us at natlfx@fragilex.org, and just in the subject put Fragile X Podcast, and just let us know what you think. Thanks again, Jane.
Thank you.
This is the National Fragile X Foundation Podcast.